Heavenly Father, we thank you because, Lord, we know that you are the God that hears and answers prayers. Lord, you that created ears, do you not have ears? Lord, we know you have heard us this morning, and that day we trust that you will heal, you will save, and you will deliver. In the mighty name of Jesus. Jehovah, as we look into your word of life this morning, that day I pray, oh God, that you will speak to every heart. In the name of Jesus. Lord, indeed, I have prepared myself for the moment. But Lord, your word says victory belongs to you. Therefore, Lord, in spite of preparation, that it, Lord, let the word come forth as you have ordained it. In the name of Jesus. Speak to every heart. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. For in Jesus' precious name, I have prayed. Amen. Please put your hands together for the choir. They just keep getting better and better and better and better and better. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Please keep clapping for them. Keep clapping for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that interesting how they just ignore the guys when the guys are coming? They just say, hook yourself up. You can take care of yourself. Praise the Lord. And to God be the glory. We know we have real men in this house. Not pretending men. Hallelujah. So today we start a sermon series on the life of Jonah. And this morning we're going to read the text from Jonah chapter 1. And we're going to read from verse 1 all the way to the very end. We're going to read from Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1. And if you will please rise for the reading of the word of God so that we honor the King of Kings, the God of the word itself. Amen. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare. He paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Verse 5, then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God. If you look at the God there, is small g God. Every man cried unto his God and cast forth the weirs that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise! Call upon thy God, capital G. If it so be that God, capital G, will think upon us that we perish not. And they said everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Verse 8, then said they unto him, tell us, we pray, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceeding afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them. So Jonah was running from God's presence and was telling them the same. Verse 11, then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And verse 12, and he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon you. Watch who you hang out with. They can either bring you joy or bring you trouble. Amen. Verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Let me pause here for a little bit because we may not get to some of this today. Listen to me. When God is dealing with a person, and you say you are the Mr. Nice Guy that is going to help the person, you are just going to find yourself in where you did not bargain to end. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And it is very important that you and I, we know that wherever we try to hide, God is there. Amen. God is everywhere. Nothing is hidden from him. He is the God Almighty. But there's something interesting I see here as we continue to read in a little bit, that even though God has sent Jonah, the prophet evangelist, to go to Nineveh to preach to them, he disobeyed God and went in the wrong direction. And even on the ship, he was winning souls. Let's read further. Verse 14. Say, wherefore they cried unto what? Unto the Lord. Now they are not crying to their small g gods anymore. Now they have found salvation, that salvation is in the Lord. In Jonah's disobedience, God worked out his purpose. Friends, you are the fellow that is disobeying is the only one that will suffer. God will still be glorified, even in that suffering. So even though Jonah was in the wrong place, God was still working out his purpose. The Bible says, these men, they cried unto the sovereign Lord. Now, not to their small g gods, but to the sovereign Lord, and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, this is still Jehovah they are praying unto here. We beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. This were Gentiles speaking here. Because of the testimony of Jonah. Jonah said, I am an Hebrew. Amen. And I belong to the God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And the Bible says they believed him. He said, I am running from his presence, and that is why this trouble has come upon you. Those people, they were like, if this God can cause this kind of problem, he must be a great God. Quickly, they surrender to this God. Why? Because salvation is of the Lord. Verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto whom? Unto the Lord, and made vows unto the God of heaven. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may please be seated. God bless you. This month, the Lord has given us a theme, wonders without number. And we see the wonders of God in this story, even in this one chapter that we have read. We see God moving severally. But today, what we are looking at, we're going to focus on maybe the first four verses of this text. The book of Jonah is a unique book of the prophets. Most of the book of the prophets in the Bible, the prophet is mediating between the people and God and bringing a message from God to the people. But in the book of Jonah, we see the reverse order. In the book of Jonah, the book of Jonah is telling us about the struggle of the prophet with God. The man of God himself is the one that has an issue here and is wrestling with God. Praise the Lord. That should tell you sometimes that when you find yourself struggling, you are not the only one that has struggled, and you won't be the last that will struggle. Praise the Lord. So we see Jonah here struggling with the Lord. The Bible tells us very clearly that the Lord spoke to Jonah. Amen. And we see two very unique characters in the first few verses of this text that we're going to study today very quickly. Number one, we see Jonah. Jonah, the prophet of God. And number two, we see the people of Nineveh. Number one, let's look at Jonah very quickly. Jonah the prophet. And you might ask me, Pastor, how do we know that Jonah is a prophet? Well, very clearly, in the first verse that we read there, the Bible says in verse 1, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. Jonah was able to hear God. Friends, I'm telling you this morning, one of the greatest attributes you can have as a child of God is the ability to hear God. Many people are in the wrong place of their life. Many people are in the wrong profession. Many people are in wrong situations. Why? Because they couldn't hear God. When you are able to hear God, you can know what certainly what you are supposed to do and how you are supposed to go. It is a very important quality for you and I as a child of God that we are able to hear God. I want you to touch your ears and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, open my spiritual ears so that when you speak, I can hear in the mighty name of Jesus. You know, a lot of us, unfortunately, it's after things happen that we realize God was talking to us. Anybody ever experienced that? Say, something was telling me not to go. I just went. And now that I've gone, I see that there's a problem. Praise the Lord. Something was telling me not to do it, but I did it anyhow. The Lord was speaking to you, but you are confused about the word of the Lord. I pray to for you today, as the Lord lives, the next time the Lord speaks to you, you will hear him clearly. You will know clearly what the Lord is saying unto you in the name of Jesus. So that's number one. And in the book of Jonah, we see seven times, different times, that God spoke to Jonah. Number two, Jonah did not only hear God, Jonah recognized the voice of God. Listen to me. In the gospel according to John, the Bible says God spoke to Jesus. And the people around Jesus said it is thundering. The voice of God was not clear to them. It sounded like thunder to them, but God was speaking to his only begotten son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Many times, people don't recognize the voice of God. You know something is speaking to you, but you can't tell, is this God, is this the devil, or is this myself? Praise the Lord. But Jonah was able to, number one, hear the voice of God. Number two, he was able to sift it, and he knew for sure that this was God talking to him. When God speaks, you will know. I say, when the Lord speaks to you, you will know it in the name of Jesus. And thirdly, the Bible refers to Jonah as a prophet. When you open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. The Bible says, he restored the border of Israel from Lebo Hamath as far as the sea of Araba, according to the word of the Lord, the God of Israel, which is spoke by his servant, Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, who was from Gath-Hepher. So the Bible actually calls Jonah a prophet. You see, the book of prophets is just one prophetic assignment that God sent Jonah that was recorded. Jonah prophesied, he did many other things, but the Lord recorded, he wanted us to know and learn certain truths from this one prophetic assignment that God gave him, so it is recorded in scripture. Jonah was like Jeremiah. Jeremiah, you have several different accounts of his prophetic assignment, how God told him to prophesy, how God told him to do this, how God told him to, the same with Ezekiel, the same with all of this prophet, but for Jonah, one particular episode was recorded. If one episode of a man's life is written in stone, you don't think that episode must be important. Believe me, it is. And that is why we're looking at this today. Praise the Lord. So what was God's instruction to Jonah? The instruction of God to Jonah was very simple. In verse 2, God said to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city. Very simple instruction, you will say. Amen? Let me ask you this question. As you are today, please pay attention to this. As you are today, where you are, right here, right now, if you absolutely know the will of God for your life, will you do it? Please answer. Some people are not answering. If you precisely, absolutely, without any shadow of that, you know the will of God, will you do it? Yes. Or will you be like Jonah? Okay, we will find out. So the commandment of God to Jonah was very, very simple. Arise. Go to Nineveh. And number two, cry against that wicked city. Simple instruction. Nothing complicated about it. But what did Jonah do? The prophet of God. He went the opposite direction. Can you please pull up the map? Please pull up the map. Hallelujah. So God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. So Jonah was over here in Jerusalem. God told him to go to Nineveh up there. But instead, Jonah came down to Joppa. As you can see, Nineveh is a landlocked city. It's not by the seashore. It doesn't need a boat to get to, to Nineveh. You know, sometimes we pay huge price for disobedience. To go to Tarshish, where he was headed, he paid a fare. To go to Nineveh, he did not have to spend any money. He just gets on his donkey, and day by day, he marches there until he gets to Nineveh. But no, he decided to, first of all, go to Joppa. And from Joppa, he was heading to Nineveh. You will remember, I told us some time ago, that back in the day, the Strait of Gibraltar in Spain, the Spaniards, they believed that there was nothing beyond that. So they named those their two mountains. They said, Ne Ultra Plus, no more beyond. Because Tarshish was towards that area. And it was believed back then that Tarshish was towards the end of the world. That is why Jonah was running away from God and running to Tarshish, the end of the world. Friends, open your Bibles with me to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, we'll read from verse 7. Psalm 139 from verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy presence or from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take up the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness as a light, the darkness and light are both alike to thee. There is nowhere to run from the presence of God. It says, even if I choose to run to hell, God is there because he made everything. Praise the Lord. So Jonah was making a terrible mistake, thinking he was running away from God. Let me ask you this. Has any one of us, were you driving at any point in time and suddenly you realized you were going the wrong way? That's happened to me a number of times. When I'm driving, I hate to speak to my wife on the phone because I always miss my turn or my exit or something. I'm that much in love. So I said, babe, I can't talk now. When I get home, we will talk. When I miss my way and I suddenly realize I'm going the wrong way, I said, oh God. She said, what is that? I said, I missed the road again. She said, how can you miss the road to your own house? I said, because I was talking to you. So let me get home in peace. Then we will talk. It's a terrible thing to go the wrong way. There's a video clip I will show you in just a minute. Get it ready, please. Or is it ready to roll? You know, in football, that happens a lot of times. Anybody ever heard of wrong way Jim Marshall? Are we ready? Yes, play it.
Myra straight back to pass. Throws, completes it to Kilmer up at the 30-yard line. Kilmer driving for the first down, loses the football. It's picked up by Jim Marshall, who's running the wrong way.
He's running very hard the wrong way.
He's scored a safety. As he picked up that fumble, he ran about 60 yards the wrong way.
60 yards the wrong way.
In sheer joy. His teammates were running
That's enough. Thank you. His teammates were running with him and yelling, "Jim, you're going the wrong way. It's the wrong way." He was going to touch down on their side of the field. You see, as funny as that may sound, the question I really have for many of us today is, are you running to God or you are running from God? Are you going the right way or are you going the wrong way? When God called Prophet Jonah and gave him specific instruction, Jonah was heading the wrong way. The assignment was simple. The instruction was simple. For example, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 28, Matthew 28 and verse 19, Matthew 28 verse 19 is talking to every believer, including yourself and myself. He said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In some translations, it says, "Go to all the nations and make disciples of them." How many of us understand that instruction? Very few. If you understand the instruction, say yes. How many of us are making disciples? How many of us are evangelizing? How many people have you as an individual led to Christ this year? You see, it's easy for us to look at Jim Marshall and laugh at him, going the wrong way. He's running the wrong way. It's easy for us to look at the life of Jonah and tear the prophet to shreds. That God sent him a particular direction and he went in the opposite direction. It is easy for us to do that. But the real thing that the Lord is saying to us is, I should check my life and you should check your life. Am I going the wrong way or am I going the right way? There are some of us that God has called you to do specific things and you have been shying away from it. You are saying, tomorrow I will do it. Next year I will do it when I have less workload. Have you noticed that you never get any less workload? If you were single when God called you and you say, when I finish school, I will begin to do the will of God. I will get into what God has called me to do. Then by the time you leave school, you get married. Now your responsibility has not lessened. It has increased because now you have a husband that you have to take care of. And then as you are procrastinating and say, next year I will get to it, then you have a baby. Now you don't only have a husband, you also have a baby. And then after that baby, you have another baby. And then you have an urge to go do a master's degree program. And before you know it, you are doing a PhD program. And before you know it, you are all that by the grace of God. But friends, what I'm saying to you today is that the right time to do the will of God and the call of God upon your life is now. It's not tomorrow. There is not coming a time that you will have less work to do. If you were wise, like I have wised up, I've realized that it is not going to get easier. Somebody that encourages me so much is Pastor Gloria. In a couple of years, Pastor Gloria is going to be 80. When he begins to tell me of all these missionary trips that he's taking, I just open my mouth in amazement. And the past month, the enemy tried to kill him several times. He went to the store, I think it was Walmart or HEB, Walmart. He went to Walmart, the floor was slippery, he slid and he fell and banged his head on the floor. And he passed out for a moment. They did MRI, did everything. Glory be to God, no broken bone. Because shalom, nothing broken, nothing missing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But at 80 almost, he's still doing the will of the Lord and the work of the Lord. Friends, he says, go ye. It is a simple instruction that you and I must evangelize and bring people to Christ. Bring people to Christ. The instruction for Jonah is very similar to that instruction that God has given us. He told Jonah, go to Nineveh and go and cry against it. Tell them about their wickedness and tell them how I feel about it. But he refused. He went the opposite direction. When you see sinners, how does it make you feel? All these people. Let fire just come and kill them. No, that's not the plan of God. God wants them to be saved. And many people will say that what I'm going to do, my plan, is I'm going to model it for them so that they will see my life, and by my life they will become Christians. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible says, go and teach them. It didn't say go and model them. It didn't say go and model for them. That's not what it says. It said go and teach them. And baptizing them is an active thing that you do. It's not for them to just see your life. It's for them to hear your words. The word of the Lord that he has placed in your mouth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why did Jonah, the prophet of God, decided to disobey God? The reason is simple, and we're going to find it in the part two. Remember, not part two of the sermon, but today, you know, remember I told you there are two interesting characters in the beginning. Number one is Jonah himself. Number two is the people of Nineveh. The reason Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh was exactly the reason God was sending him there. The Bible says the wickedness of Nineveh was great. The Bible says, and it has reached up to heaven. If we want to say it in contemporary language, their evil, their wickedness stank up to heaven. And literally, is what the Lord is saying. It literally stank up to high heavens. You see, the people of Nineveh were evil and despicable. In fact, the record of their wickedness is still available till today. Nineveh, the city Nineveh, is in present-day Iraq. And they have museums of some of the wickedness of Nineveh. Their inscriptions, things they wrote about the what they themselves, they were proud of their wickedness. So you wouldn't blame the prophet too much if you know this city very well. Listen to some of the inscriptions. This is in their museum today. One of them, one of the people of Nineveh at the time, he said, I cut off their heads and formed them into pillars. He made heads of people. He put the heads together and he made a pillar from it. Another one said, he said, Bubo, son of Buba, I flayed, flay, to flay is to skin. I flayed, let's use regular English. I skinned the men in the city of Arabella and I spread their skin on the city wall. These were men of Nineveh. Another one wrote, these are inscriptions, not written for them, but written by them. It's another one said, I skinned all the chief men who have revolted, and I covered the pillar with their skins. Another one said, many within the border of my land, I skinned. It means his own people, he killed them and skinned. It just seemed that when they kill people, they have a certain pleasure in skinning them. You know, if you are engaged in war, I used to be in the military, you know, thank God, I never saw hostile fire, you know, but in hostile fire, if the enemy is shooting at you, you shoot back at them. Is that not so? So it's possible to, you know, as a warrior, you have killed somebody, but after killing the person, to now sit down and begin to skin them. That is wickedness. That is wicked, and this was the stock in trade of the men of Nineveh. Listen, another one said, I cut off the limbs of the officers and the royal officers who rebelled against me. Another one said, 3,000 captives, listen to this, wickedness, 3,000 captives I burned with fire. Their corpses I formed into pillars. They took pleasure in wickedness. Friends, are you taking pleasure in wickedness? And because of their wickedness, God said to Jonah, he said, go and cry against that city. Friends, if you love wickedness more than righteousness, God is crying against you. Praise the Lord. I know we like Pastor tell us more about the wonders without number. But this is true. This is true. Their wickedness stank up to high heavens that God said we have to do something about this. Why did the prophet not want to go to Nineveh? Very simple. Number one, it was a dangerous assignment. When you understand the kind of men you are going to tell, God says you must stop your wickedness. If you don't stop your wickedness now, and you know what they can do, they will skin him alive. Say, hold him down very well. They will skin him. He knew how dangerous the assignment was. Number two, he knew how tedious the assignment was. You see, the Nineveh at that time was the largest city known in the then known world. It was the largest city. The Bible says it was 3 days' journey to travel across Nineveh. He was the biggest city. So he must have been thinking, how am I going to do it? Number one, these people are exceedingly wicked. If I miss the people on the north side, by the time I get to the south side, they may have heard and I may have really angered them. You know, they will kill me. That was what he was thinking. Amen? And number two, he knew that it is not an easy job. Friends, to evangelize is not an easy job. There are people you will tell about Christ, the way they will wash you down. In fact, you yourself, you'll be afraid for yourself. You'll be like, I just told you about Jesus. I'm not fighting you. If you don't like him, leave him, but don't try to kill me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he understood what he was up against. This is the reason why many of us don't evangelize till today. And as you are going to see later on, until you pass this present assignment and instruction, God will not give you new ones. He will not give new instructions. He will keep referring you back to the old instruction. So, number one, it was a dangerous assignment. Number two, it was a tedious assignment. Number three, he knew God. Jonah knew God. He knew that these wicked people, if I go and preach to them now and they repent, God will forgive them. Why? Because he understood that God is plenteous in mercy. Let me tell you something. Some of us today, one of the reasons you will not evangelize some people is because you really want them to burn in hell. You may not admit it. In fact, when you see some people, your thoughts towards them are not good thoughts. If God can just show us what you are thinking in your heart, some people will be very ashamed of themselves. Why? Because inherently, somehow, somewhere inside us, you are wishing that God should punish some people. Let the judgment of God just come upon them for their wickedness to me. That was kind of how Prophet Jonah felt. He felt that these people, they have been too wicked. Let the judgment of God come upon them. But that is not the plan of God. The Bible says God will not have, he wants all sinners to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. He wants all men to be saved. He wants all men to be translated from darkness into light. That is why he saved you and left you and I here on earth. He left us so that we can show others the way. You know, every time I preach on a topic like this, I remember this story. There's this well in the middle of the desert. Stark middle of the desert. You know, and the well, very deep well. So they have a water pump that pumps water from the well to the top for people to have water to drink. So what they do, and that machine, that pump, requires priming. Anybody knows what it means to prime? It means you have to put some water in the pump, you know, to prime it, and then it can suck more water up. Okay? So they always leave a bottle. Anybody that comes, once you fetch water, you fill the bottle. You know, with the bottle, first of all, you prime the machine. When you get your water, you fill the water, the bottle back up for the next person. Okay, so these guys came. They drew the water. They primed the machine, drew the water. And then they drank all of the water. And didn't leave anything for priming. That is exactly what some of us do after we have met Christ. After we have known Christ and we have met with the Lord. And the Lord has transformed our lives and you are enjoying the goodness of the Lord and you refuse to share it with other people. You are like that guy that took the remaining water, primed the pump, got the water for himself and drank all the water and didn't care about the people that are coming behind him. Friends, we need to share the love of Jesus. We need to share the gospel of Christ. Friends, when you are going in the opposite direction from the will of God for your life, when you are running away from God and God really loves you, it will do anything to get your attention. For Jonah, the Bible says God sent a great wind to the sea. Hello? Listen, God sent a great wind in the midst of the sea. God did not send the devil to Jonah because Jonah disobeyed God. God loves you. And God will keep prodding you. He will allow situations and circumstances in your life that will redirect your attention back to this God. That will bring you back to where God is leading you. He's steering you this way and steering you that way to bring you back to the center of his will for your life. Do not refuse the chastening of the Lord. Jonah was running from God, and God was getting his attention. God did not send the demon to him. He sent a great wind, and he managed that wind himself. There are a number of people in the scriptures, because of the great love that God had for them, he got their attention. For Moses, it was the burning bush. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. For Pharaoh, Pharaoh was mean to the children of God. He wouldn't let them go. He was stubborn. The Bible says all the firstborn sons in Egypt died in one night, including Pharaoh's son. God got his attention. For Gideon, God sent him an angel. For Balaam, that would not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the donkey began to speak to Balaam. King Manasseh is one of those kings in scripture that I just don't know about him. Had a righteous father, but decided to go his own way. Praise the Lord. The Bible says he did worse than the heathen. It means Manasseh, the kind of sin that Manasseh committed was worse than the sins of the Gentiles. I hope you are not like that. I hope that there is no unbeliever looking at you and saying, if this is what it means to be a Christian, I don't want any of that because I'm not even as bad as you are. Praise the Lord. The Bible says Manasseh was worse than the heathen. Second Chronicles chapter 33 and verse 9. But in verse 12, the Bible says Manasseh repented when he was afflicted. You see, the chastening of the Lord, the idea of God is to bring you back to himself. I pray that you will not run away from God because of the chastening of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. And you see, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, the Bible says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. In wrath, remember mercy. Friends, it does not matter the difficult situation you may have found yourself now, maybe because of your disobedience. Know that God is a merciful God. I want you to preach that to your neighbor. Say, God is a merciful God. It doesn't matter. Tell that neighbor, say, God is a merciful God. If I will repent, God will show mercy. If I will come back to him and say, Lord, I want to make amends. I want to fix my ways. God will have mercy. He's a merciful God. The scripture says he's plenteous in mercy. So even though Jonah was in disobedience to God, God was still working his will. He was still working out his purpose. Ultimately, the men on the ship, they figured that Jonah was the cause of their problem. And guess what? Everything is part of a script. Your life, my life, is like a movie script. If you have ever watched any of those operas, soap operas, you know, those series that they have on TV, you know, there was one I was addicted to for some time, but the Lord has delivered me. 24. How many of us know 24? Oh, I love it. You love it? They made it for pastors, maybe. 24. Man, I had to pray. I said, Lord, in the name of Jesus. But I want to know what is happening in the next episode. And I go watch the next episode. You see how my wife is shaking her head? That's how she was shaking it too. Back then. If we were traveling and I have an iPad, I'm watching 24. I said, babe, you... I said, I don't want any part of that. Why? Every good movie has what is called suspense. So they want to keep you focused on that thing. You can't wait till the following episode. In fact, at work, you are talking about, did you watch 24 yesterday? Only God knows what is going to happen. What's the guy's name? Jim? Jack Bauer. You said, confession time. Jack Bauer, that's another 24 addict. But the Lord has delivered us. Glory be to God. You know, there is a suspense to it, to grasp your attention. Friends, the story of your life that is unfolding is a script that is written. There's nothing in your life or in my life that is surprising to God. So God already, he saw Jonah going in that direction. He said, okay, you think you can run? So God sent a great wind to go deal with them. And because those people had disobedience on their boat, those guys were businessmen. They lost all their wares. They had gone shopping. They are gone shopping. All their wares, the Bible says they threw in the ocean. Friends, watch out for disobedience in your life. Disobedience will bring losses to any life. In fact, as a matter of fact, friends, when you see yourself, you know, I'm a tither, I'm a this, I'm a that, but things just don't work out for me. Check your life. Maybe you are disobedient. Maybe you are disobedient. God was taking all their resources away from them until Jonah was compliant. And guess what? Jonah told them, he said, throw me in the sea. And then the sea will become for you. You see, God already knew the next step. He already prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. When you saw that clip, Jonah was attempting to swim back to shore. If God had not prepared a fish to swallow him, a shark will have swallowed him. And that will be beyond repairs. You know how sharks, how? One takes the leg, another one takes the other leg, another one takes the trunk. They just pieces him. But God prepared a fish to swallow him. Children of God, why must we go to such great extent of disobedience? God causing us to lose everything. God causing us to be in the belly of a whale for 3 days. What can you liken the belly of a whale to? How much light did you think was there in the belly of the whale? It was in absolute darkness. Nothing was working out for him. As a matter of fact, somebody said that the reason the men and the women of Nineveh, the reason they believed Jonah when he came, was it looked like a monster. You don't think the stomach of the fish is acidic? It's acidic. So the acid had burned, so it was looking like a caricature of a human being. So when he came and said, repent! He said, we better repent. The monsters, the demons, they were afraid. They said, this thing, they didn't call him this man. They said, this thing that is talking, and he's talking to us about God. At this point, Jonah had no will again. In the belly of the whale, he cried to God, and God heard him. You see, a lot of times, when we know the call of God for our lives, we say, yes, Lord, here I am, but send him. Lord, I know what the assignment is, but let her do it. Lord, I know what needs to be done, but let him do it. Lord, I understand what the next step is, but let her do it. I pray that somebody will take ownership today in the name of Jesus. I pray that somebody will take responsibility today in the name of Jesus. Would you please rise to your feet? Please rise to your feet. We're going to sing a song that says, Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm available to you. I'm available. Lord, I'm available. Sing, just sing. To you. I'm available. What you say, do sing. Just sing.
it to say, my will I give to you. Use me as you choose. I'm available to you,
Lord. I'm available to you,
Lord. I'm available, Lord.
I'm available to you.
I'll do what you say, do, Lord.
I'll do what you say, do. Use me as you choose. I am available to you.
Brethren, lift up your right hand to the Lord this morning. The choir has a passing grade already, so we'll let them pass on this one. Lift up your right hand to heaven and say, Father, I consciously, I willingly declare this morning that I'm available to you. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Friends, please listen to me. Our lives will be less chaotic if we will just follow the will of the Lord. Jonah did not have to suffer all that trouble. He spent money to catch a boat that he did not have to go on. They threw him into the tempestuous sea. He was in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. And then ultimately, he still went ahead to do the will of the Lord. Friends, I don't have to suffer a loss. I don't have to suffer anything to do the will of God. Why don't you talk to the Lord for a minute or two this morning and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to know your will. By your grace, I will do your will. By your grace, I will do your will. Talk to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. And if you are going through any difficult situation right now that you think it is as a result of your disobedience, why don't you say, Lord, I am ready to follow. Lord, I am ready to do your will. Lord, I am ready to serve. In the name of Jesus, I'm available, Lord. I'm available, Lord. I'm available, Lord. I'm available, Lord. I'm available, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm available. Lord, I'm available. I'm available, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Jehovah. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Brethren, listen to me. God is not partial. Are you listening? God is not a partial God. Whatever you have read in the scriptures that he was able to do for the people of old, he's able to do again even now. Praise the Lord. If he was merciful to Jonah, he's available to be merciful to you. If he was gracious to Jonah, he will be gracious to you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Please bow your heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, Jehovah El Shaddai, the all and the mighty God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We worship you, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I commit your church into your hand, to God. Lord, I know, because I have the witness in my spirit, that there are a few today that are living in disobedience. Father, I pray that first of all, Lord, you will reveal what their disobedience is to them in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, you'll be merciful unto them, even to nudge us and steer us in the right direction in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, your will is clear to us. You said in your word, go and teach all nations. Very simple instruction that you have given unto us. Lord, I pray that from today, Lord, you will raise in us evangelists in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, that you will make us unrepentant evangelists in the name of Jesus. Everywhere we go, Lord, we will tell of your goodness. Everywhere we go, Lord, we will tell of your mercy. Everywhere we go, Lord, we will tell of your grace. We will tell of your great love and your great grace in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we are available to you, Lord. Use us. Use us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Redeemer. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.